Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the original smoocher himself, Rich Stambolian.
That's right. Good morning, my bumba clot. What's going on?
You invented kissing, right?
I did. Yeah. Way back when, I also invented kiss. Gene Simmons stole all that shit from me.
All the kisses. What's going on, Rich?
Not much, dude. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Long week. TGIF. You know, I'm saying that more and more. I never understood how people celebrated Fridays so much, but now my work schedule's been a little nutty, and I look forward to this today. I can't wait till I'm done. Well, you know what I do on Fridays? Those are my tub days. I get in the tub.
Toaster or not?
Sometimes I just bring the toaster to the bathroom, and I leave it there just in case, you know, the moment comes.
That is one of my favorite bits.
Great bit. A lot to talk about today. Obviously, Double or Nothing last weekend. Night of Champions also last weekend. This is what you call stalling when you don't have the notes ready in front of you. Rich, which show? We did not talk about wrestling at all. We didn't talk about any of this.
No.
All right. What did you enjoy more?
The Saudi show or Double or Nothing?
Yeah.
Honestly, I really enjoyed them both.
I did too.
I think it was just a weekend of wrestling.
We'll go into it. I want to know because you, this is always fun because Rich and I have not spoken about this. MG and I spoke about my thoughts on Double or Nothing. I had a couple issues with it. Some stuff that people hated, I liked, and some stuff that people liked, it didn't do it for me. We're going to talk about that and a lot more. But let's go into the news, boys and girls. Do you want to do it, Rich?
Yes. Let's do it. So in what could have been another one of the most worst-kept secrets in pro wrestling, Tony Khan touted an announcement this week, which ended up being a pre-taped official announcement that CM Punk we'll be back in AEW for the first episode of Collision on June 17th. Listen, great news. We've been talking about it for a month. Will they, won't they? Is this guy coming back? I feel like it landed like half a dud in the crowd, though.
It did land a half a dud in that crowd. It got that bizarre John Cena treatment. You know, original big pop for it, and then the boos started coming in, and they, you know, there was a dueling chant at one point. So this is interesting. You know, this was supposed to be announced 2 weeks ago when the tickets went on sale, and obviously they delayed it for numerous reasons. They announced this, and next week, Tony Khan has another announcement.
CM Punk is leaving.
CM Punk is leaving the company. I would say it is his match announcement.
Yeah. All right? And, you know, it's interesting because there are.
You guys could run that if you want. You could say Andrew Zarian believes it's the match announcement.
That believes. They're also, I think, petering out like who's gonna be on Collision 2, if I'm not wrong.
They need to, dude. And part of that, you know, Dynamite was interesting because of the way they structured that show with the Ring of Honor guys.
Yes.
If you noticed that, it was a lot of Ring of Honor on there, and I'm curious as to why, and I'm wondering if, you know, with half your roster now being split possibly, right? Because it's soft split, hard split, regardless, they're going to be on two shows, three sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to spread these guys. Maybe getting them a little bit of TV time would help. You could turn Rampage into a Ring of Honor type show. Just have those guys on that show.
I would like that. Yeah,
And there's, you know, you call it AEW Rampage and it's just Ring of Honor guys and you sell that Ring of Honor pay-per-view. You could do that. You have that ability now. But,
well, look at how stacked Rampage is for tonight, too.
Yeah, big show.
And I think, you know, if you go in that direction, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I don't want to do the spoiler for that because we get yelled at, but there is a big moment on that show.
Ooh,
I'm sure a lot of you guys read it. Did you see it?
I might have.
Okay. Yeah. I'm under the impression that next week will most likely be Punk's match. You know, I could tell you one thing, though. I was sworn not to tell anybody, and I really did a good job at not telling anybody except Rich and MG about that match with Samoa Joe that I had seen. So if that is the program, I think that's a mega match to announce.
Absolutely.
Huge.
Absolutely.
And that's a great program. That would be their fourth match. I believe this the last time they faced each other was in 2005. Wild.
Almost 20 years.
18 years ago. So this is a nice way to kind of pop that. He did move some tickets. There were 500 tickets sold as of yesterday of the announcement, which I would say that's a nice little pop. And I'm sure more tickets are going to sell over the next couple weeks. And next week's match announcement will most likely put, you know, I think there'll be 10,000 people in that building.
For sure. For sure. I think people will come around too, you know, because like, I think there's that fan thing. And I've talked to a lot of wrestling fans, you know, that aren't podcasters. And they've pretty much said the same thing where it's like, I'm turned off by the guy. And I want to make it happen, and I would love it to work. And I think there's going to be some kind of FOMO for people in the area who are going to say, you know what? F it. Let me pull the trigger. Let's go. Yeah. And you know what? When something like that happens, you're going to go and have a good time, and you're going to forget about all the dumb stuff in the back of your head that you may have toward this guy that you don't know personally. You know?
Listen, you are more than entitled. Like, I don't connect a fandom with individuals like other people do.
Okay.
And I envy that sometimes, that, you know, like, dude, I know people that absolutely love certain bands, right? And they genuinely have a love for them. I love music. Yeah. I love every, you know, like, I'm into stuff, but like, not like that. Like, I don't get distraught over something negative happening in that sense. Like, I just don't have this connection with celebrityhood and stuff. But
yeah, no, I understand that.
I'm able to recognize the importance. You know, like, you remember that guy that was crying when Punk showed up?
I think he was there on Wednesday because the crowd showed a dude who looked just like him.
Okay. We didn't have, like, this guy got buried. I mean, people are bullying the crap out of him. Grown man crying at another grown man about a fake sport. I'm like, listen, man, you don't know what people have gone through. You don't know why he has this connection for this
exactly.
man. Right?
Exactly.
You don't know what happened in his life that maybe, you know, he helped him in some way, and viewing him, you know, gave him this release and escape from reality. You don't know. And if somebody is that emotional about this guy showing up, you know what? Good for him. He's able to enjoy something to that extent. I envy that. I don't. Rich knows I don't enjoy anything.
I'll agree to disagree on that. I think you like certain things and you're really into certain things, but it's not that you don't give a shit. That's the thing. I think that clear. You care, but I think we're in the same boat where, like, I agree with you. If you can express your emotions fully and like that in public, God bless you. That's amazing.
I did cry when Suge Knight went to prison, though.
You did. You cried for hours.
Hours. Hours. What did that man ever do to anybody? That's what I kept saying.
I don't know.
Listen,
you also cried when Nixon resigned.
I did cry when Nixon resigned. I was like, what did that man ever do to anybody? You know, so I think it's great. I think this is a positive for that company. He's a huge asset. You're reshuffling the deck here. You know, we've said this from day one. A guy like Andrade should always be, you know, front and center. He's a special type of guy. Miro's another one. Whether or not you like him in WWE or not, if he's too WWE-ish in his style, he's a big recognizable name. He's a solid hand. He's a good worker. He's unique.
Yep.
He should be on TV, but it's very difficult to do that when you have a roster of like 200 people and 2 hours to only display it. So,
exactly. You know,
whether or not people are going to tune in, you know, in droves or not, this is a nice little test for them. And I think they're going to be able to do some unique stories that you wouldn't be able to do on Dynamite because you're rushing things. And the same goes for Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
You think there'll be a different feel to each show, Rich? What do you think?
I think it's too early to tell. I would like there to be, but it seems like they're staying the course because aesthetically everything's kind of the same. I would love for them to do like a new, really cool looking set. Like the first time you watch SmackDown, right? And you're like, you know, they're blue. They got a big fist. Look at this thing. It's crazy. You know,
I believe the set will be similar in some capacity to what we saw on the pay-per-view.
Okay, that's cool.
I'm not 100%, but I think it's going to kind of have that feel and look.
You know what they should do? They should make it like the old school Backlash set, and at the end of the hooks, just monster trucks swinging into each other.
Yeah, just fireworks every time.
Collision. Oh, fire! A lot of fireworks.
Oh, you know what? I think we're totally off about this. It's a monster truck show.
I'd love it. Listen, if CM Punk is driving a CM Punk monster truck, that's the announcement. These motherfuckers are going to be in monster trucks next week. I'm so down with it.
So we did a
poll. Could be two of Matt Jackson's shoes.
It could be two of Matt Jackson's. Yeah, just clashing against each other. So we did a poll on yesterday, actually. I don't know who put this out on the Mattmen page.
I did. I did.
You did. Okay, great. The question of the night was, are you happy that CM Punk is coming back to AEW? This was an interesting poll. 43.8% said hell yes, heck no, only 17%, and meh, don't care either way, 38%. See, you fell into that trap. You fell into the meh trap.
Yeah.
Never put the meh. You want a yes or a no. There's no meh.
Yes or a no or a wacky.
So, I mean, that 38% could go either way, you know. It could be yes or no. But I think in the long run, depending on how they present this, people are not going to care, and they're going to be excited that he's there.
Yeah, dude. It's one of those things like where you can go and have some kind of like chip on your shoulder. And let's take celebrities, for example, right? Let's say like a Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is a good example, right? You could turn around and you could poo-poo all his movies all you want, and then at the end of the day, you'll be like, oh man, that guy's great. Yeah. Like, I love all the Mission Impossible movies. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's the same thing with CM Punk. Like, you could poo-poo him until a certain point and then be like, all right, this is why I liked him in the first place.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
And the Wrestling Observer, Dave, said that the belief is that Punk and Ace Steel will be heavily involved in the creative of AEW Collision. I'll add a little bit more to that. I believe they're heavily involved in their creative and the people that they're working with. I don't necessarily think that it's Punk is heavily involved in the creative direction of the show as a whole. Mm-hmm. But I think he's very heavily involved in his creative and people that are around him.
Yeah, so that's cool. Listen, if these are the conditions for this guy to come back and make the money and to get that return on Tony's investment, fine, yeah. Right?
So now the big question is, what does this show do as far as viewers go? I don't know. I don't know. Well, I can't predict it.
Well, you're the numbers guy, right?
I am the numbers guy.
We've been clear about this for the past 10 years. You're the numbers guy. Now, I know nothing about numbers. I can hardly count to 10. Big deal. If they do a million, is that possible? Or does it need to be a million for it to be like successful? Could it be 500,000? Like, what do you think?
I think they could definitely do a million for a special show. But I think in reality, I think being in the sevens would be a win for live viewers.
Okay.
You know, TV is getting away with the metrics on success when it comes to live viewers now. I mean, sports is a little bit different, and I think this kind of falls in the middle, but you're seeing more and more brands and companies out there giving these weird whole numbers, right? Like Game of Thrones, for example. When Game of Thrones comes out, it's the first 24 hours that number is calculated. It's not the hour that it was on. So, you know, when they say like 60 million people watch Game of Thrones, like, yeah, not at that very moment because it's not concurrent viewership. I think you're gonna see decent numbers for this show, but I think the DVR plus 3 is going to be the one that matters as far as people watching. But for advertisers, I think if they're in the sevens, I think that's a healthy, realistic number for that show. I think if they're in the fives, I don't think that's a positive. Which is possible. I don't know. I'm not as connected to Saturday viewership, weekend viewership, as I know the numbers during a week.
Right.
But that's my assumption. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. It's like in the marketing sense, you know, you kind of want to be in that sevens on a really rough time slot. If that helped.
Hey, we'll see. Listen, it's a couple of weeks away, 16 days away.
16 days away.
There's going to be a good lead up, I'm sure. Like we were talking about before, Tony Khan's going to make probably the match announcement next week. We'll see how this plays out, man. It is very interesting. You know, like for the last 3 years, we have been entertained by very cool, wild, and interesting just wrestling stuff in and out of the ring.
Yeah. Listen, man, it's fun. It's always fun. I always enjoy the show. I mean, there are some that I haven't liked, but for the most part, I generally enjoy AEW and I enjoy what they're doing. So I hope this continues. I hope they're able to continue this. Per Fightful, WWE is set to unveil, I believe they did, the new Universal title. No, I'm sorry. I was reading two stories at the same time. Here we go. Sorry, very, very much. WWE is set to unveil a new WWE Universal title to Roman Reigns during his 1,000-day ceremony on SmackDown. I've heard this. I know that a belt is made. I didn't know it was tonight, but it makes all the sense because this guy's walking around with two titles and it makes no sense.
Yeah.
So I guess he is not passing CM Punk's WWE World Heavyweight Championship record. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting, but does he need to?
I think it was an oversight more than anything else. I think because they were so wrapped up in the 1,000-day, because Punk still has the WWE record, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship record. So, yeah, I do think it's time for a new title. I don't know what this thing is going to look like. Is it going to be, you know, the WWE logo that they have currently on that title? Is it a modified version of it? I have no idea. I'm looking forward to it though.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we can speculate all we want. If they did a modified version of that NXT UK title, I'd be happy with that. That thing rocked.
And I believe that belt was beautiful.
Yeah.
What a stunning belt. And I believe AEW is working on something too. They're working on a modified AEW world title.
Cool.
I believe it's minor tweaks. Nothing. It's still going to look the same. WWE has announced all of Roman Reigns' summer schedule. You want to run down this, Rich?
It's a lot of dates. June 2nd, June 16th, June 17th, June 30th. These are including house shows. So he's doing SmackDown's house shows, Money in the Bank, July 1st. SmackDown in New York, July 7th. SmackDown in Orlando, July 21st. House show in Mexico City, July 22nd, July 28th, New Orleans. And Saturday, August 5th, SummerSlam in Detroit. This is an interesting approach because they're labeled. It's almost like he's on tour as a one-man band.
Yeah.
You know, like they're like, this is where Roman's going to be. And it's obviously clearly evident that this guy is an effing draw, right?
Dude, he's so good. He's so good. It's actually amazing how, you know, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, people were crapping all over Roman. They were tired. They did not want this Roman. And he went away for a little bit and came back, and he's unbelievable.
Is he now the Hogan / Cena of this generation?
Oh, yeah, 100%. No question about it.
People do lose their minds in a live audience for this guy, which is great. You know, it's a given. It's warranted. And you know why I think? I think he added that little tweak to that character where it seemed like he may have taken some acting lessons. You know, his facial expressions are so wild at this point, it makes it so much better.
I think he needs to start kissing people.
Just smooching?
Giving a two-sided kiss when he sees people.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge me.
European kiss.
It's a nice European kiss. I think that'll add another element to it. Like him and Paul Heyman do a European kiss?
I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That always makes me giggle.
Funny. Fightful reported last week Vince McMahon has been making changes to the shows remotely. Both Alexa Bliss and Ty Mello announced pregnancies this week. Ty on the pay-per-view. Alexa Bliss, they put it on Twitter. Her and Ryan Cabrera expecting their first kid.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. Alexa Bliss announced on Twitter that she said she would return about a month after the baby arrives. WWE's already added to her contract. So, you know, she's a WWE person. She's been there for a long time. Good for them, though. Money in the Bank qualifier starts this week on Raw. Both Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura have advanced. On SmackDown, LA Knight will take on Montez Ford, and Zelina Vega will take on Lacey Evans. They also did a segment on Raw where Gunther was taunting Riddle to cash in on him if he wins the Money in the Bank. MG Geek says, please no. Why? You don't want to see that?
Money in the Bank, it should be for the world title. I don't know. It just seems like it's a big thing,
Right? Why would you challenge for something that's not the world title?
It sounds ridiculous. It's stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Just making yourself look like a geek by, no pun intended, but make yourself look stupid by not going after the big title, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After winning the women's tag title, Shayna Baszler, Monday on Raw, after winning... after winning the women's tag titles with Shayna Baszler Monday on Raw, Ronda Rousey told the New York Post, "Don't the women's tag division is
dismally shallow," is what she said. Okay, there.
It is dismally shallow, but I mean, this is written like a baboon wrote it.
This is the section of our notes that's written in crayon. The R's are backwards.
Yo, is that a P or a D? I don't know. Or a 9.
You, MG, I'll be honest with you. You had a great run of not botching these notes. It's been quite some time. But listen, when it hits, it hits.
And when it hits, it hits.
After winning the women's tag team titles with Shayna Baszler Monday on Raw, Ronda Rousey told the New York Post that the women's division is dismally shallow and she wants to approve it.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick, for interpreting that insanity.
We got it.
Yeah. Next week's NXT, both Mustafa Ali and Baron Corbin will make on this week's NXT. Jesus Christ. Ali and Corbin showed up. Ali is challenging for the title. He yelled. Baron Corbin's going to challenge for the title. He held the title up. I think that's fine to put them down there and do something different. I expect more of this. You know, NXT is a very different place. And I think they're just trying different things now. It's a very WWE show, though.
This is explaining why they did the free agents, right?
Yeah.
They did the free agents. So now it just makes more sense. Like, oh, I get why they did that. So they could move these guys around.
I want Baron Corbin with that NXT title. Shout out to Shin if he's watching.
Go ahead.
MG, can I ask you something?
Sure.
And this is not a knock on you, but sometimes when I see stuff like this, it makes do you drink like 17 Imperial IPAs and then go into a fugue state and write the notes?
Sometimes.
It's just eyes rolled back in the back of your head.
I'll be totally transparent with everybody. I spoke a lot of these notes last night because I was in a hurry.
Okay. So well, it looks
so. That's why sometimes that happens, and I didn't get a chance to.
And by the way, these notes are so freaking detailed too. It's like multi-page notes that he provides. He just sometimes begins half sentences, and I get very confused. Like this one from NXT Battleground, which went head to head with Double or Nothing. That's the beginning of the bullet point from NXT.
MG, when you do the dictation, do you yell out bullet point into your phone?
No.
I imagine you in a jacuzzi just sipping on some cognac, like just fucking writing this memoir. We appreciate it.
Baron Corbin made appearance. Dragunov had a classic with Dijak. Fantastic match. Very much enjoyed that match from that show. That's the only one I really watched. I didn't see anything else.
Yeah. Well, weird move, them going head-to-head with Double or Nothing.
Yeah, because you know what? I think a lot more people would have watched it. The wrestling was pretty good. They had two really solid matches, three solid matches on that card. So and that's the only one I got to watch. I had no time. Let's talk about the fallout from Night of Champions. Run this down, Rick.
Yeah. What's up?
Run it down.
All right. So... listen, we called a bunch of these. It was a fun show. Asuka won the Raw Women's Championship from Bianca Belair.
Surprise.
Great surprise. I think we called it last week. Love it. Cody Rhodes passed out to the Kimura Lock against Brock Lesnar. Also, great match. Who'd have thought these guys would have such a great program together? We did.
I like the match. I know some people didn't like the match. I actually liked that match. And it's such a wonky setup, but I think they're both very motivated.
It also seemed like it was so effing hot in that arena.
Yeah.
I almost passed out watching it. Seth Rollins defeated AJ Styles to win the new World Heavyweight Championship. Seth is the inaugural guy. They did a nice package for him, I think, on Monday, showing all his first title wins, right? Was that something I just saw on the internet?
No. They did do that. They did do that. He's been around for a while, dude. He was in FCW, Seth, you know?
Yeah. And in your main event, holy shit, what a match. What moments. The Bloodline imploded. Jimmy Uso super kicked Roman Reigns. Sammy and Kevin Owens beat Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. I really wanted Sammy to get that pin on Roman, but listen, there's so many more layers to this story. I'm still really digging it. This, honestly, Bloodline, probably the best story in wrestling for the past 2 years, right?
Oh, I would say way longer than that. When is the last time they committed like this to a story?
My God. WWE, at least, this is like the most commitment they've put into an angle that features multiple people. You know,
I'm trying to remember, when was the last hot program, like angle story that they had that went on this long?
Oh my God. You know what? I'd be hard pressed to remember the Rusev's cuck storyline. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like this is probably the best story that they have told in over a decade.
The Shield stuff, probably, you know, like their
implosion. Yeah, the Shield stuff.
But you know what? That led right into Roman becoming Roman. So, like, do you count that as the same thing, like the trajectory of the character, or you know, like, how do you quantify that?
I don't know. I would say that that's a different story. But I think the Shield stuff was fascinating. The Summer of Punk stuff was great, but it was so short term. Like they let it go. They had no story there.
Austin and Vince. Man.
That thing went on forever. So I am very into the story. I thought it was masterful how they did the ending where the Usos come out of the crowd. They take out Kevin Owens. Roman is dying on the outside. They go in. They take out Sammy, hit him with a super kick, hit him with a second super kick, go for that double. And the only thing Roman sees at that moment as he peeks his head up is Solo getting super kicked.
Yeah, perfectly timed.
It's freaking perfect.
Perfect. Sammy getting pop of the night. Sammy addressing the crowd in Arabic. Like, what a thrill for the guy.
Yeah, man.
That must have been incredible. Yeah.
Good for him. You know, it's a once in a lifetime experience at the highest level. You know, you got to root for people like Sammy.
Oh, absolutely.
That have achieved it with, you know, everything that was thrown at them. It's going to Double or Nothing, Rich.
Yeah, Zerp. All right. So this is kind of interesting. So from the crowd, from our perspective, like, we watched the whole show.
Can I ask you a question, Rich, before you go with it? How did you watch the show?
I watched it on... I watched it in and out, like, half alone, half with my wife.
Okay.
Had a couple of drinks, had some food, crank up the sound, you know, like, I had a great time watching.
Okay, good.
It was a fun show. What about you?
I watched it with Jess and the kids for like the first couple of matches. And then it got late for me. So I was still watching it, but I wasn't as into it watching it live. And then I watched it again the following day because I had to do Observer.
Okay.
I watched it the following day on Monday because I wanted to know what was going on. I did the same thing with the Saudi show. I watched it live, and then I went back the next day and I watched, you know, afterwards. But on Monday I watched it because I had, you know, everybody was home on Monday. But I was just curious because it'll tell. I really believe how you watch it impacts your perspective of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I usually watch, like, when it's stuff like this, I usually watch that shit super loud. I try to get into a cool space. If we're not watching it together, or like nobody's coming over, or if I'm not going somewhere, like, you know, I try to do it right. But that being said, from our perspective, and I think a lot of people sitting at home felt like the crowd was off and the crowd was a little quiet, but we knew so many people in attendance that said the complete opposite, that were telling us that it was a hot, hot crowd.
Yeah, I think there was just less people in that building. They had 10,000 people in that building. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because Garrett said that the crowd was not as bad as it was on TV, but it definitely felt like they were cold for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Listen, also, it's Vegas. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with Las Vegas, but listen, that's a place where you can get a little rowdy, and maybe that's when the hangover set in.
Maybe.
right as Double or Nothing started.
Well, listen, think about it. If you got in there on Wednesday, if you got in there on Wednesday or Friday, that hangover definitely is set on Sunday.
Vegas is an interesting city because as expensive as it could be to go out and have a good time, it's also, if you do it the right way, it could also be a very inexpensive trip, and you can have an equal amount of like inebriation or whatever you want to do. It's just a fascinating kind of town,
All right, let's go down this card, Rich.
Let's do it. We're just gonna do the highlights for you guys. Yeah. Tony Storm won back the AEW Women's Championship from Jamie Hayter. It was clear they were trying to get the belt off Hayter. She's injured. First two-time women's champ, Toni Storm. Nice. Good move. If it wasn't Hayter, put the belt on Toni Storm. That's fantastic. Until Jamie comes back, right?
Yeah, Jamie's hurt. I think Toni's a good pick for this. Highlight her a little bit. Good decision.
Let's see what else we got here. Adam Cole defeated Chris Jericho in an unsanctioned match with help from Britt Baker.
What did you think of this match?
Let's be honest. A little help from Sabu.
And a little help from Sabu. First of all, bonkers, right? Bonkers. Yeah. We saw Sabu come out. I like his good enough theme.
Yes.
That's what I call it. It's good enough. Close enough. He came out, threw a couple chairs, went through the table from the top rope. He fell off the top rope into the table, I should say.
Yeah.
In the most Sabu of ways. It was what it was. I know a lot of people didn't like this match. I had a problem with this pay-per-view having so many gimmicks. It was too many gimmicks. Every match had a gimmick.
Okay.
And that was a little bit of a problem for me. I thought Adam looked fine. I thought Chris did a lot. There was definitely a styles clash with speed and timing and stuff, but it was an unsanctioned match. They weren't doing a mat wrestling clinic.
Definitely a fun match though. It was a nice little nod to a lot of fans. I think, this was an interesting one because I feel like it was more for the fans, right? Like you want to see an Adam Cole go against a Chris Jericho, and Chris Jericho, let's say he retires in 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years. Like he's got to get those dream matches in.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Cole, they're going to start pushing Cole a little bit here, which they should.
They should.
Orange Cassidy retained the international title in what I would consider probably one of the best battle royals I have ever seen.
Yes.
Right. We could agree on that. It was a fantastic battle royal. And to me, what makes it even better, it was a lot of mid-card guys. You did not have, top roster names, and they put on a great battle royal. Everything makes sense. Big Bill looked like $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
You got to shoot that guy to the moon right now.
Absolutely.
You don't get too many opportunities with a big guy like that. His work rate has improved tremendously. He has a presence. He has something that was lacking in WWE, and I think he's kind of figuring it out right now. I would definitely push him a little bit here.
Listen. If anybody on creative from AEW is watching this right now, here's a little suggestion. Change this dude's name to Big Billion instead of Big Bill. Instead of Big Bill, which falls flat. Call this dude Big Billion because he looks like $1 billion, right? That could be his gimmick right there.
They need a new name for him.
Yeah.
For sure. William Morrissey, I guess, didn't cut it.
Can't call him Big Cass. Even though, listen, when you're talking about the guy, it's hard not to call him Big Cass, right?
Yeah. It's funny how Big Cass works, but Big Bill doesn't.
Right.
Isn't that funny? They're both ridiculous.
Wrestling, man. But, AEW does have a habit of putting on great battle royals. I think it's that PWG mentality of, like, the interesting spot timing.
You know who I got lunch with yesterday? Kyle.
Oh, that's right. Where'd you guys go?
He met me at Penn 6 in the city. Yeah. We had some food. We were talking. He said he hated working battle royals.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he hated it. Just he would get in there, do his spot, and get the hell out of there.
Big shout out to Kyle.
Yeah, he started bleeding. He started taking bamboo skewers and putting in his head, bleeding all over that bar. That's his.
Yeah,
move.
You can't take
that
guy anywhere.
You know what he does? He goes, "You want to see what Masada taught me?" That's what he says.
Yeah,
And they're like, yeah, the girl behind the bar had no clue. And then he just takes a bamboo skewer out of his pants. Boom, 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 boom. And he goes, check this out. Ha ha, isn't it funny? Bleeding everywhere. And she's screaming in horror.
Did he start trying to fork you in the forehead?
Like, no, but he did try to, you know, chop me a bunch of times.
Oh, so good. He shut you down that one day. I remember that.
Yeah, it was at my kid's christening, dude.
Your soul flew out of your body.
My soul did fly. He laid it in. I mean, I no-souled it for sure. I wasn't going to give him the, you know, but you could see the soul exiting behind me.
I was also across the room when it happened, and
you
it sounded so awful, and just, you no-souled it, but your whatever soul was in your body evaporated completely. Just gone. Just goodbye.
It was a nice chop.
It was a good chop. Here, okay, so continuing with Double or Nothing, and then we're going to do some more stuff and some questions here. Jade beats Taya Valkyrie, I believe, in her 60th win, right, yeah. MG?
60th.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, out comes Chris Statlander, a returning Chris Statlander, to defeat Jade Cargill in Jade's second match of the night. So Chris Statlander is now the TBS Women's Champion.
Cool. She came back. Big reaction. She was on a roll before she got hurt. Defeats Jade. Now what do you do? I think Jade should be off TV for a little bit.
That was the rumor, right?
And then move her to the world title position. What else can you do with her?
Oh, dude, that would be a great move, right?
I would, on a heartbeat. She's so impressive. You see her, and I keep telling you, WWE, they there's certain things that they look out for. And I hear Jade's name regularly when I have these conversations. They're very impressed by her. You know, she is a WWE act. No knock at AEW, right? But like, they look at her, there's just such presence and marketability with her, and that's how they think.
And listen, they let her go too, so you never know.
Isn't that amazing, though? You know, sometimes you got to leave and discover yourself. When I left Death Row in 96, it was a lot of issues. And then, you know, I went back.
Yeah, weren't you featured in the Tupac California Love video also?
Yeah. I'm the guy in the mask in the back.
You're in the background.
Yeah. And I'm doing the whole, I'm doing this, I'm doing all of it. I'm dancing with Dr. Dre in the back. It's a whole thing. I was on the All Eyes on Me album. It was a double album. I was on the last song. You can't even hear it.
You know, you never talk about your hip hop career.
Oh, I know. I was in Bone Thugs and Harmony also. Did you know that?
That's right. You were Andy Bone.
Yeah, I was Andy Bone. I was in the 3-6 Mafia. All the fast rappers. That's all I did. I would just go speed rapping.
Weren't you also featured in the Wuha video?
Oh, the Busta Rhymes one? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know those Jordan 11s that he's wearing, those white ones, the Concords? I gave him those.
Those were me.
Those were my feet. They imposed it. And that is such an obscure reference. If anybody goes back to see the video, I think you should go watch the video, and then you'll find the reference when he's sitting on the couch with those Concords. That became my Jordan obsession.
Didn't you get started Missy Elliott's first album?
No. I didn't write the album, but I'm in the bubble suit. I'm inside that suit with her. And I got to tell you, fucking hot. I was drenched.
Yeah, you were like, this is how you do it. Guys, seriously, like, Andrew has a really stunning late 90s hip-hop career. It's ridiculous. Look it up. And you know what? I forgot the last thing, too. You were the inspiration for that Little Kim album cover.
Oh, yeah. I was the model for it when they were like, oh, we don't know what to do with Little Kim on this. I'm like, no. I'm going to put on this furry bathing suit and crouch down. And you're just going to, all you're going to see is crotch. All right? That's all you're going to see. I was also the guy that screams, Laugh Rack is Iraq. Okay? Constantly. That's my voice in all of the Noriega songs. Laugh Rack is Iraq.
Guys, you don't even know.
Didn't you get started in the business by setting a Flavor Flav's clock for him? That's how you got started?
He stole it from me. I'm the one that introduced him to Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You're the original Floofy Floofy.
I was the original Floofy Floofy. My wife tells me constantly that my brain is just littered with nonsense facts from all these different eras, and that is why I cannot remember a thing.
All this stuff is taking up too much space. Like your hip hop career, like the inspiration that Tupac drew from you.
Yeah, I wrote It Was Written. Did you guys know that? I wrote that masterpiece of an album that Nas is taking claim for.
Did you have a hand in Illmatic or no?
No. I did not have a hand. I can't take credit for something I didn't do.
Also, you were cut out of that original Wu-Tang video.
I was in the original Wu-Tang, and they kicked me out. ODB was not a fan of me, I'll tell you that.
You were the 10th member. You were supposed to be in that staircase with Method Man.
Ghostface killed that though. Rooftop, always liked man. Me. Ghostface always liked me. Oh, my God.
All right, let's talk about these last few matches.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, hold your horses. Hold your horses.
Yeah, hold your horses.
Hold your horses, MJ. Seriously. We're not talking about your career.
Maybe I'll go into my career of being the original member of Mobb Deep.
Oh my God, there you go. MJF retained the AEW championship in the Four Pillars four-way match. MJF, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and Jungle Boy, Jack Perry.
Yeah. Let's talk about this match. I thought the match was really good. Great match. Yeah. They went like a million miles an hour. They did so much in this match. You know, I don't want to lie, okay? I thought everybody did great, but certain people stood out far more than other people. MJF is fantastic. There is no question about his ability and the impact he will have on professional wrestling. Whether you like him or not, that's besides the point. The guy is an act that comes along once in a while. You don't get to see a guy like him regularly. I saw this guy early on, dude. I called his match for actually Kyle's promotion in Deer Park.
Oh, that's right.
NLW. Yeah. I did color commentary. JD from New York was the play-by-play guy. When Max came out, like, that was the first time I had ever seen him. I wasn't too familiar. I knew the name, but I wasn't familiar with him. I actually turned to JD. I was like, oh, this effing guy is going to be huge. And he's like, no, yeah, he's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, dude.
You know, and Jerry and I have totally different perspectives of wrestling. So, I mean, for two people that have very opposite ways that they talk about it and see it, you know, he was something very special. So, I who else was on that card? I can't remember. A lot of those guys made it out of Long Island.
Yeah.
You know, but he was great. I thought Sammy is becoming more and more liked, which, you know, make him into a really good baby face and get a young teenage viewership. I think they could do that with him. They're expecting. That's a big part. I thought Darby was fantastic, and I think Jungle Boy was the one that got a little lost here. Not as far as in-ring ability. Yeah. I'm just saying in the shuffle of things.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Great match, though. It reminded me of, like, those classic Guerrero, Benoit, Malenko, Jericho matches. You know, like, these young dudes, a lot to prove. They're really going for it. They're going at it. But in this case, it just so happens that they're co-main eventing, like, a giant pay-per-view. And we're going to see this match again in different iterations in the next 5 years, and it's going to get better and better. You know, I'm a huge fan of the match.
Yeah. We also got, did we add the tag match here? Or you missed it, MG?
I didn't. I just put the highlights.
Oh, you put the highlight. Jeff Jarrett, you did not add Jeff Jarrett to the highlights?
He's not a highlight.
Uh-oh.
First okay, of all, Jeff exactly. Jarrett's fantastic.
2007.
Jeff Jarrett's great. I will ban you from the show if you insult Jeff anymore. He's such an old-timey guy. He's a relic from a whole era, and he is wrestling unbelievably. I love everything about Jeff Jarrett. I want more Jeff Jarrett. I cannot believe I'm saying this because I wanted no Jeff Jarrett in WCW and TNA, and now that's all I want to see. I want to see Jeff Jarrett. I want to hear the do-do-do-do over and over again.
They did make you think that they were going to win, didn't they?
I know. I knew that they wouldn't, but I wouldn't have minded it. I wouldn't have minded it. I want to see Jeff hold a title. I think Jeff needs to go for the international title.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly would love to see that. Put a belt on. Care. I don't care if you think it's a bad idea. It could be a terrible idea. I'm not telling you it's not. I'm just telling you my selfish needs.
Said this every week. Just put a belt on him for a week.
Yeah. And then there was the trios match, which the lighting was cool for. I'm sold on that lighting.
Yes, yeah, that was really awesome. Fun match, and you know what? Main event.
Okay, I want to get all your thoughts on this.
From top to bottom, I personally loved it. I love the way the match started. It hit all my notes personally. Listen, you got live music and you got a bunch of dudes beating the crap out of each other. Listen, that's pro wrestling, right? Like a band playing Wild Thing for 20 minutes while everybody just goes berserk on each other. Awesome. Brawling, music, fighting, throw a cold beer in there. I'm a happy camper. I love the match pretty much top to bottom. How about you?
I like many elements of the match. It's a lot going on. I thought the story they told at the end was great. Don Callis costing the Elite the match. Takeshita attacking Kenny was great. It was...
What?
Dave gave this 5 stars. Okay.
Okay.
I would not have, but because I have a difficult, you know, I'm able to take myself out of things and say like, maybe it's not for me. I don't like the brawling everywhere. It didn't really do much for me. Did we lose everybody? MG? Rich?
I'm here.
Where's Rich?
Rich just went kaput.
Oh, he went kaput. Okay, so I'll filibuster a little bit here. I could recognize that it was a really good match, and I could recognize that people loved it, and I'm fine to say I maybe I'm wrong here. But it was personally for me, it's a lot of stuff that happened. It's too much that happened for me. It's you're back. There you are. It was too much for me to say like, hey, 5 stars, you know, like I can't because I can't focus on it. It's too many people, too much going on, too many moves. I thought they did a good job of telling the story as much as they did. I thought that super kick was fantastic with the fireworks. It's not my thing. That match is not my style. So I'll step out from it and I'll say, listen, you guys absolutely love it. I totally understand why you loved it. I thought there were great aspects to it. Was it a really good match? Yes, it was a very good match. But I wouldn't give it 5 stars because I wasn't as emotionally invested in it.
You know, I feel the opposite. I loved it. I loved like all the, like this was a good one for the crowd, for the home audience, you know. And also, like, you know, it was a huge takeaway for me from this match. Put all those goddamn belts on Cesaro.
He's so good.
That guy is a goddamn monster, right? Like, just the way he was plowing through people. I honestly thought he was going to do some of that Braun Strowman choo-choo shit. At one point, he was getting so amped up.
Yes. He should have, dude. He should have.
That's all it was missing, like a Cesaro choo-choo train moment.
Yeah. So that was a pay-per-view. It was a fun pay-per-view. But it was, again, it's one of these transition moments for this company where... they needed to get past it to get to everything else.
Yeah.
And now that we are... and by the way, Wheeler's the one that pinned Kenny, right?
Yes.
So
Wheeler did get the win.
That's a good story there. Him and Takeshita is a good match story. Yep. Him and Yuta is a good story. I would say that, you know, Forbidden Door... I by the way, I have heard about the card. Okay, I'm not going to leak it. I don't want to ruin things. From what I have heard, it's going to be a fantastic card. There's no way people are going to be disappointed if it goes the way that they're planning on it going.
Yep.
And how could you be disappointed? It's a dream match, non-canon card.
Oh,
you know,
cannot
you get to do all this wacky stuff, which is great, and then you have All In and All Out. So, they got a busy couple months here with Collision.
Well, also at the end of Double or Nothing, after it went off the air, you can see the clip on YouTube. Kenny addressed the audience pretty much saying, hey, I'm not the most well-liked guy back there, but I still have some friends left. And he leaves. This past Wednesday, it was intonated that he was not in the States, possibly looking for a friend to help him out.
Yeah, in the promo is that Kenny went back to Canada, and I believe it was Hangman that said, no, he's not in the States, but he's somewhere else. So maybe alluding that he's at Dominion. He's going to show up in New Japan. Who does he recruit?
Listen, as much as I want Kota Ibushi, he did have that moment with Okada earlier this year.
Yeah.
Where they're all buddy-buddy, clinking belts, hanging out, doing cool dude shit together.
I'm into both. Both ways. Yeah. Let's do it.
I think it's going to be Kota, though.
All right. Let's run down Dynamite very quickly, and then we'll go into Q&As. Submit your question in the chat room. Use the hashtag AskMattMen, and we will do our best to answer it. Honestly. Adam Cole and Dr. Britt Baker defeated Chris Jericho and Saraya. Oh, let's go backwards. Sorry. That's the main event. John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta defeated the Lucha Bros with Bandido. Bandido came dressed like a bug. Somebody said that it's a character. It's like a Mexican children's character.
He was Chipilin Colorado. He was like Chipilin Colorado. He was like a bug guy. He was like a superhero bug guy. He carried like a big hammer. It was like a staple. Chipilin Spanish.
What did you say it was?
It's like it's spelled C H A U P I L I N.
Chipilin Colorado.
When I was a kid, yeah.
Like, is that French is that next to like French Montana?
He's like the red grasshopper, basically.
Got it. Okay.
Which I think was an interesting little tribute because Bandido came out with the little ears too and like the mallet. That was fun. That was like a staple of like Spanish television when I think everybody was a kid.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, it was a deep cut, but pretty cool.
Okay. I'm into it. Tony Khan made his Collision announcement of CM Punk returning. There'll be another announcement next week. Swerve Strickland defeated Big Bill and Trent Beretta. Don Callis comes out. Nuclear heat.
Oh, my God.
You know what? In another universe, okay? I'm getting goosebumps. Look at this. On my beautifully smooth arms. Look how smooth my arms are. And I'm getting ready for that tan, that summer tan.
Yeah.
Tandrew's on the way. Imagine if Callis was the higher power.
Big what if.
Big what if.
Big what if.
What if Cyrus was the higher power? You know, and I remember reading that on like the WrestleZone forums. And I was like, that is God. The dumbest thing you could ever do. Cyrus? Would have been great. He comes
would've
out.
Would have been cool.
Cuts. I mean, that crowd destroyed him. Real deal, old school manager heat here. So it looks like he's putting together a team here.
Yeah.
I'm curious who else he's going to add to this, because I think this could become, he's adding to the family. I think those were the words he said. So who else can he add here? There's a lot of people.
Everybody who could hate Kenny, right?
Yeah. Who could hate Kenny?
Jericho.
Well, Jericho has his crew.
Yeah, it's interesting with the factions in AEW because I think they need a little tweaking and this might be like a good sign, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm into this. Very into this. So Callis, I always like him on TV. You don't get to see guys like him as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do we have?
You had Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin defeating the Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan and Toa Leona. Fun, big dudes, good match. You also had Chris Statlander defeating Nyla Rose to retain the TBS title. They're probably going to give her a nice long run with that belt, right?
I hope so. I think that she could do something good. Adam Cole, Dr. Britt Baker defeated Chris Jericho and Saraya. Saraya is the first woman in the company that has main evented both WWE TV and AEW TV.
Actually, that got debunked.
Oh, did it?
Saraya actually. Oh. Ruby is the one that's done that.
Mm. Ruby has main evented. Cool. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? That is cool. That is very cool. And then there was a moment where Jack Perry saved Hook, came out with the chair. Mm. People thought he was going to turn. Maybe this is the feud, which I want to see that.
Yeah, I'd like that a lot.
Yeah, I'm into that. Friday's a solid
Dynamite. Yeah.
Vikingo defends the Triple A Mega Championship against Commander and Darlistico. Willow Nightingale puts the NJPW Strong Women's title on the line against Emi Sakura. Zack Sabre Jr. defends the new... Wow, this is interesting. This is a very interesting card.
Stacked.
Is the next one public? The next match? Zack Sabre Jr. defends the title against Action Andretti and Shibata and Lee Moriarty for the ROH Pure title.
That was announced all on Wednesday. What a wild Rampage card, huh?
Wow. Like, I want to see this. I want to see this match. Yeah. But you know what? This is what Rampage should be. This is exactly what Rampage should be. If they did this every week where they had these really bizarre, unique shows.
And it's an hour long.
And it's an hour long, so it's gonna fly. And it's easy to watch. But you know, do you remember that the time of a couple months ago, maybe MG remembers this, there was a story that they're going to do something more with New Japan Strong and AEW.
Yeah.
Remember that? Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the move.
Leading into Forbidden Door, it's a great move.
Yeah, I think this is great. Next week on Dynamite, Ricky Starks versus Jay White and Juice Robinson and FTR banned from ringside. Orange Cassidy defends the AEW International title against Swerve Strickland.
Awesome.
So, very, very into this. All right. Dominion is coming up. We don't have enough time because I got to get out of here. But 3 a.m. here on the East Coast on Sunday. This is a very good card. I very much recommend you watch it. I'll watch it early
also,
in the morning.
Kenny might show up too. And Mox is on the card also.
Mox is on
and
the card.
And Claudio. Yeah. And Shooter, which big fan of. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah. Listen, New Japan is doing some good stuff. So
this could be the beginning of the setup for Forbidden Door.
I'm sure it
That's
is.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is. Q&A time, boys and girls. Submit your questions in the chat room, and we will do our best to answer them.
Guys, if you want a super chat, your question will be bumped to the top of the line. Any amount is cool. We got a couple of super chats in the audience. This is from The Little Kev. See if that's working.
Oh, working, I gotta guys? Turn it on. Sorry, guys. Yep. Hold on. Stand by. An MG faux pas.
Do you guys think Tony Khan will announce a roster split for his next announcement?
There we go.
You guys think Tony Khan will announce a roster split for his next announcement because he said that they was going to follow up on the roster split soon.
I think you're getting the match first.
Yeah.
And then you'll get
match
it.
First. That's a great question. And the other announcement.
Little Kev. Big Kev's little brother.
Shout out to Little Kev.
Shout out to Little Kev.
This is from Big Ben's 97. Who's one wrestler you were initially high on, but not anymore? And one wrestler you weren't sold on, but now you are? That's a good question.
That's a great question. Who's a wrestler that I was initially high on, but not anymore? Currently wrestling?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll get shit for this, for sure.
I think my answer will also get shit, too.
You want to go first?
So, wrestler I was initially high on, but not anymore... the returning Drew McIntyre. Loved him. Guy won WrestleMania. But listen, not hot on the guy anymore. Sorry. Wrestler I wasn't sold on, but now you are. Sheamus. It took 15 years, but I don't mind a Sheamus match now.
I'm going to go Joey Janela. I was very high on him.
Interesting.
When AEW started. I thought that was something very unique about him. I don't think it was, you know, I don't know his fault, their fault. I don't know why, but obviously, you know, he's not on TV. Who's a guy that I wasn't sold on, but now I am? Oh, there's a couple of those guys. Actually, you know what? Darby, I would say I didn't know it would work the way that it did. You know what?
I got
it. I got it. I got it. I got it. someone that I wasn't sold on, but now I am. So easy. Who do you think, MG?
Danhausen.
Danhausen. No, I always loved Danhausen. No. Cassidy. No, mm-hmm. I love Danhausen. Orange Cassidy's the one. I was not high on the gimmick.
Yep.
And then I saw what everybody else saw. And that's perfectly fine. That's good.
It's pro wrestling. It's pro wrestling.
There's a couple of people that I was initially high on. I don't want to poo-poo on people. But I would say that Joey was one that I thought could have been, you know, something there.
Mine is Finn Balor.
You were initially high on Finn, but not anymore?
Yeah, just the way he's presented now, it doesn't work for me anymore. Yeah. I don't know. He seems just like another guy. He was special when he drug out the makeup.
Ah,
and
you know what? Ricochet.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he falls into the just another guy character, though, category.
Yeah.
Big Ben's. Guys, Big Ben's dropping him. Who's a wrestler?
Thank you, by the way.
Who's a wrestler of the past you think was before his time and would have been a bigger star had he came up in this generation of wrestling?
Who's a wrestler in the past that you think was before his time and would have been a bigger star? Superstar Billy Graham, for sure. Superstar Billy Graham. There's a couple of those guys, you know, like even Backlund, you know?
Yeah. Ricky Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat did great for the time that he was in.
Piper?
You know who? Jerry Lynn.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jerry Lynn was like 5 years too early.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with that 100%.
But there's a lot of those guys, like Chris Candido, another one, right?
I was going to say, that's the one I had in my head.
Did you watch that documentary?
I did, and it was sad. It's Lance Storm was like a big baby. He was crying
What a sad, sad story about that guy.
Yeah,
Tammy ruined him. Ruined that man's life. Listen, that one, unbelievable.
A lot of WCW guys, like Too Cold Scorpio, I think he would have been a big, if he was like a, imagine seeing like a young Too Cold Scorpio now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah, there was a lot of those guys. I mean, especially like the early 90s, you know, mid 90s, early 90s, a lot of these guys that really weren't, you know, size. Some would say Chris Jericho was before his time. You know, he was just able to translate better.
Mike Awesome.
Mike Awesome, another one. Yeah, I think he would have been different. You know, it depends. Like Magnum TA, he's another one, right? Before his time. And unfortunately, I think his career got cut short. I think we would have seen so much more of him in the 90s. And I would have imagined, you know, he would have gone to WWE at one point. You could have gotten a Hogan and Magnum TA match somewhere.
Would you throw Dynamite Kid into that category?
Dynamite Kid for sure, before his time. But, you know, he made a big name for himself. It was just his problem.
Yeah. All right, next question. This is from Glick Foley. AEW should have a Legends belt. Only old-timers compete for it. Imagine guys like Sting, Jarrett, Goldberg feuding for it.
I don't want to see that. TNA did that.
Yeah, I feel like that would put like some kind of unnecessary stank on AEW.
Yeah, it would, yeah. I'd love to see Goldberg there. I'd love to see Sting and Goldberg do something. I think having the older guys mixing it in with the younger guys and doing some cool stuff, you know, goes a long way. Like, you know, Goldust. He's doing Canadian Destroyers now.
He's a good example. Sting's a great example. Like Sting showing up still carries a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Another one from Glick Foley. The one benefit of all AEW pay-per-views being equally important was TK had no incentive to hold things back. But with All In, he now has that incentive. Do you think that could or has hurt short-term creative booking?
I think that is such a great question.
Great question,
to be honest. Great, like fantastic question. I think the way that it's structured, like where these shows are, it's too much at the same time when you're used to spacing things out. So it does get in the way. I think next year they're going to have to figure out, okay, is this show going to be a summer show? Which it should, right? Because people are more willing to travel in the summer. So if this is your WrestleMania, which it should be based on the success of this, do you move everything? And should you have more pay-per-views? I do think they need more pay-per-views. I think, and we've seen that they're able to generate this 120K plus, you know, consistent pay-per-view buy. Can you add another two? Yeah, I think you should. Yeah. I think you should be at 8 pay-per-views a year. You don't have to do one every month, but I would definitely go up to 8, and I'm fine with paying that if the card is worth it. And generally they are. They always put on good shows. But if you are able to put this super show together, like All In and All Out being a week apart is not by design. Like it wasn't like they're like, oh, you know what's a great idea? Let's do these two big shows back to back. No, it just so happened. It something came up, a concept happened, availability happened, and you took a dive in. Whether or not the timing is right. But I think next year they're going to have to restructure how we do this. You know, like you start off the year with what is it? Revolution's the first show in February?
Mm-hmm.
Revolution. You can still do that. And you just go every 6 weeks for a little bit. You know, you could do every month and a half. You don't have to do every quarter. And there you go. Now it makes a little bit more sense.
I also think if you look at it in a certain regard, it's still a new company, but look at how much they have done in such a short period of time. Whereas like if you look at a TNA or if you look at an NWA, there's only one show, right? There's only like one Impact, whereas AEW has so many shows under their banner. It's like getting, I'm going to use my nerd shit to kind of back this statement up. It's like getting a massive toy collection or a massive comic book collection. It's sitting in a room, but you need to make your shelves and you need to put everything in place and make everything look nice. I think that's, you know, he's got the sandbox full of toys.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Does the pay-per-view ordering, right? Like if you're viewing it, right? Like Rich is viewing it, like in the way you view, not Rich doing shows. How many pay-per-views are you willing to order for AEW? Pay $50 for a year.
I would do 6.
You would do 6.
Every 8 weeks, I would be totally happy with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just curious because your habits are different than mine. You know, the way you view stuff. And I think that's why people enjoy the show. We have such different perspectives. Even though we think the same on a lot of stuff, you see it in a different way, which I like. And I was curious, you know, will it, if it's like every month, would you be willing to pay every month?
No, you know, also because I'm used to the 4 a year and they're all great.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's necessary to go once a month with a $50 pay-per-view. I feel like a lot of folks would get burnt out on that very fast. Okay. I feel like a lot of folks would feel betrayed if that happened.
Yeah. Because the WWE killed that whole pay-per-view model for wrestling fans.
Exactly.
You know, interesting. By the way, WWE is not totally against going back to pay-per-views. I'm just letting you guys know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, originally when that network happened, there was a lot of anger because there were certain people that felt that the pay-per-view model is absolutely dead and UFC showed that it's not. So in this new Peacock deal or whatever deal they're going to do, I would not be shocked if they, you know, gave away all of them except for WrestleMania or WrestleMania and SummerSlam. I could see them going back to that model, and I do think that they would get tremendous numbers.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through them.
It's from Adam Frazier. I want Jungle Boy to turn heel, have a hair versus hair match with Hook, lose, and then come out in a turtleneck with Christian's haircut.
Oh, man.
Listen. Would you be sad to see Jungle Boy's hair go?
Oh yeah, 100%. I'd be very offended by it.
Do you wish you had Jungle Boy's hair?
I have to take my Finasteride. Right. Hold on.
It's right up there with Bianca Belair losing her hair.
You just reminded me.
I love that. You know what I would love even more to make him like such a piece of shit heel? Jungle Boy loses the hair versus the hair match. This dude comes out with like a fucking rat tail. And dressed like Christian.
Oh man. I can't believe Christian wrestled in the cutoff turtleneck.
Yeah, good for him. He knows what he's doing.
He knows everything. You know, he's so good.
This is from Tracy Lawrence. Most people compare AEW booking to WCW, but I see it more like 85 to 87 NWA with Dusty booking.
Wait a minute, that's not the question.
That's the question.
No, whose question?
Tracy Lawrence.
No. I have what's happening. Yeah, here. There you go.
Most people compare AEW booking to WCW, but I see it more like 85 to 87 NWA with Dusty booking. It's not GCW. This was a more violent time. Was this a more violent time under Dusty?
Yeah, I don't see it as GCW. I think they're doing old school wrestling, you know? And 85 to 87, yeah, that's what you saw. If that's the influence, you know, and I know that Tony's very influenced by WCW in the early days, but I mean, look at Mox. Mox has a very different influence. That 85 to 87 NWA, it was grimy. It was just all the Florida stuff was fantastic. You know, so I think it's influenced from everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. It's got a little something. It's interesting how AEW really does have a little extra something for everybody. You know, but they do go full bore with like the brawling and the blood and all that stuff. Let's see what we got here. We got another super chat from the little Kev. What match are we getting first before the roster split announcement? And I hope you guys are having a great day. So far, so good, bud.
What match are we getting first before the roster? Based on what we said earlier, I think it's going to be him and Joe, or it should be. I mean, that's what I've seen, but. You know, they could change anything. Everything changes instantly. So we know that.
Let's see. Let's get a couple more here. I think that does it for the super chats. MG, what do you say?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You're done with the super chat. Cool.
Let's do like three more.
Let's do Estilo Latino here. How did the non-EVP AEW talent react to Ace Steel's rehiring and TK keeping it a secret?
I don't know.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I wish I was a fly on that wall. I don't know. I can't imagine that they're thrilled about it. But series of unfortunate events, my friend. The whole thing.
Oh, yeah, we'll never know. We'll never know what the real deal is unless maybe like 5 years from now somebody does like a full-blown shoot interview.
Yeah, where's Sean Oliver?
Yeah.
We need Sean Oliver on the case. He'll get it out of them.
Let's see here. We got, this is from Alex Kyrioglu. I hope I didn't butcher that. Hey, guys. I want the opinion of the three of you. I got VIP tickets for the Undertaker show in London. It cost me $350. Do you think it's overpriced? What is the ideal price? Hashtag Ask Matt Man.
Where are you sitting? How many tickets did you get?
Right.
I would say it's worth as much as you paid if you enjoy it. If you enjoyed it, then it was worth it.
How big of an Undertaker fan you are. If you're an Undertaker fan, this is probably something you'll cherish for a lifetime.
Yeah, like, listen, I think I value stuff differently. If you enjoy it, then you didn't overpay. If you did not enjoy it, then yeah.
Yeah, hindsight's always 20/20, but listen, if you're a big Taker fan and you know you're going to get like a couple hours of stories, why not, right? It's not like this guy's going to Axl Rose it and show up like 2 hours late.
When the Mets were in the World Series a couple years ago, I paid $300 for standing room only on the bridge, and you couldn't even move in that building. And yep. Everybody's like, why would you pay that much money? Because I wanted to be in that fucking building.
I have a story, and I'm not going to name names. I was in the same boat, and I don't think we were at the same game, but somebody, one of my wife's friends, was like, oh, yeah, we got playoff tickets. They're like X amount of money each, and we didn't see. I was like, did you get like the ticket stubs or anything like that? And she's like, no. I'm like, I think we got ripped off.
Did you get ripped off?
I think so. I think so. I was like, because we had standing room only also like on the passing porch.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. This is from Balor Club. TGIF, my Mat Men. With the rumors of LA Knight being the guy to win Money in the Bank, do we see Cody in the ladder match or Cody versus Brock at Money in the Bank?
Why doesn't Brock and Cody go in the match?
I'd love that, but I don't want to see Brock on a ladder.
I don't think LA Knight. I mean, what is LA Knight going to do with it? Why would you put it on LA Knight? I mean, I would love to see. I like LA Knight, but I don't know if that's the right way. I haven't heard that. Like, officially. I've only heard the speculation.
That's almost similar to putting it on Austin Theory, like they did last year. And then they kind of back booked themselves into a corner.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Great question, though.
This is from Everything Pro Wrestling. What are your thoughts on AEW Fight Forever? Also, do you have any inside scoops about more DLC packs?
I don't, but I know there's going to be more DLC packs. I'm holding my opinion of it until I play it. Oh, so what are you doing Tuesday, by the way?
I'm not sure yet. Is that when you're going to get the thing?
Yeah, Joey Image is coming by. I bought a PlayStation off of him. So he's bringing a PlayStation. Okay. We were going to go to lunch if you want to come by.
That's a strong possibility. Okay. I would love to do that. Or I could just avoid Joey Image because I've never met the guy.
Oh, yeah, you've never met the guy.
You always invite me to lunch with him.
Anyway, I know.
What I was going to say is we may have a little treat for you guys once we get that PlayStation 5 set up in your studio, get the game. You might see a couple of dudes playing it online together and reviewing it as we play it.
Everybody's opinion that I have seen has been the same. The gameplay is a lot of fun. Yeah. And, you know, the graphics, that some of them look better. Some look worse. Eddie Kingston looks better than the last one I saw of him. So I guess
he still looks like Jim Norton, though.
He still looks like Jim Norton. I know. They'll patch this. They'll fix it. But I think if the gameplay is really good, then that gives this a life for the second one to kind of fix all the wrongs.
Exactly. Look at a game like Fire Pro. Fire Pro, like, you're not talking about a graphics powerhouse there, but gameplay, ridiculous, right?
I can never figure out how to play that game. Stevie Richards sat down with me for like an hour trying to teach me how to play the game, and I couldn't figure it out.
It's a little tricky, but hopefully this game has, like, you know, people are saying the way the control is mapped out, it's fantastic. I'm excited to play it on the PS5. The PS5 controller is arguably the best controller ever made, in my opinion. And you don't even get the Pro one. That Pro controller is like $200 that just came out, too.
I'll order it.
Oh, yeah? It comes with all these little knobs, extra knobs, just in case you break your controller. It's very interesting.
Oh. Knobs. All right. What else do we have?
Lewis says, sounds like a Mattman After Dark episode for AEW Fight Forever.
Oh, okay. We should do that.
We should do that. Get a couple of beers, some sandwiches.
I got a new 4K TV in here in my office.
Very nice. Yep. Very nice. Let's see. This is from Lo-Fi Lit. Do you guys think All In and All Out will be designed like a WrestleMania week for AEW? They should.
Yeah. They should capitalize on it as much as they can.
You want to do one more? Or you think we're good?
Let's do two more.
Two more. Okay, let's see here. MG, do you see a good one?
I could go to noon.
Okay, so 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Could you want to wrap it up with one last one here?
All right, let's do one last one then. Fine.
This is the one to end it on. I'm going to put it on the screen.
No, he's not. He's not calling in today.
He's not? Okay.
He's not. Right. Does he want to? I wasn't ready for Tony today.
I think we should get out of here soon.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for Tony today. Next week, French Tony Khan will call in early. So I can understand what he's saying.
This is from Brian Knight. Are GOD still free agents? If so, where do you think they'll go?
I don't know. Are they?
Last I heard, they have been. They've been done with New Japan for a while now.
I know that WWE really likes Tama Tonga. Yeah. So they tried to get him years ago, and he decided to stay in New Japan.
What if they brought him in as the replacement for the Usos and the Bloodline? How with that would be interesting.
Oh, that would be really interesting because he is technically another cousin.
No, is he? No.
Yeah, he's an Islander. Tongan. They're not cousins. They're not. Yeah, they're not related. But in that whole sphere, you could spin it that way for sure.
In the sphere of, you know, The Rock saying Haku's his uncle, then yeah, you know, like, it's still kind of like part of the same crew.
The Island guys.
Yeah.
GOD versus the Usos would be a great match. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else do we have? Anything else or are we done?
I think we're good.
All right, boys and girls, that's it for this week. Love each and every one of you. I'm exhausted. I'm going to the city. I'm going to work, and then I'm going to come home, and I'm going to lose my mind tonight. All right? I'm just letting all of you know. Tonight's the night.
Are you going to start tanning with olive oil
toasters?
Listen, West Side is the best side. I'm just letting you guys know. No, I'm not going to tan with olive oil, but I am going to start putting butter on my skin like Cosmo Kramer did.
Oh, you got to do the butter on your skin. You got to somehow tan while you're in the tub with the toaster over your head.
That would be my dream. If I had a tanning bed, like I've contemplated buying a tanning bed. I love tanning so much that I want to get a tanning bed.
I think you could put it right in the office. You can put it right in the replace one of the couches.
Yeah.
Put a tanning bed in there, and then when it's not in use, just put cushions on it.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we'll do. All right, guys, that's it for this week. See you all later.